So that was three strikes for 3 o'clock at St Anne's, and we're now with Anne Robinson, perhaps even the saint. But here we go. She's going to lead us through this part of London a little bit.
Okay, I'm definitely St Anne's of Limehouse, and it's the Hoxmoor Church, and it's kind of a nice one to stop at for the walk because it was written about a lot by Ian Sinclair, who's very associated with psychogeography and walking, of course, and in a poem called Lud Heat, he wrote about the idea of Hoxmoor's 6 London churches, which are St Alphage's in Greenwich, St George's, Bloomsbury, Christchurch, Littlefields, St George in the East, Wapping, St Mary Woolnoth, and this one, St Anne's Limehouse, kind of being in a kind of pattern which suggested occult significance. And the writer, of course, Peter Ackroyd, wrote a book called Hoxmoor, which kind of picked up on this and also suggested that, you know, Hoxmoor, the architect, 17th century, is kind of represented in this as being a kind of devil worshipper, terrorising London with occult architecture and also with kind of really extreme kind of misogynistic undertones, which is not such fun to celebrate, but to note. But it was one of the churches built to serve the needs of kind of a rapidly expanding population of London in the early 18th century. And these buildings are sometimes also known as Queen Anne churches. Sinclair worked here, I think, as a gardener, which was partly how he kind of began to kind of look into the kind of architecture of it. And there's a pyramid in the grounds, which we'll come to, which has got an inscription about the wisdom of Solomon. And other people might want to add stuff, because you might want to kind of...
It was a bird.
No. It's all the gravestones lining the wall.
Some of the rapidly expanding population of London have obviously been buried here, but the graveyard cleared, and there is a really, really beautiful kind of bas relief kind of created by the layering up of these kind of markers of Londoners. Of course, all the churches along the river, this one is Dunstan's and others, had big maritime associations as well. And I think this one still flies the White Inn sign, the naval flag, which is it's the only church that's allowed to do it because it's got associations with the Navy. Mm. And, you know, the area we're walking through, I mean, every step of the way you could say something about shipbuilding and maritime.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask a more generic question about the trail and walking through a city like London. So how do you think the differences for you between walking through an area with memories and places that you do have knowledge of, for instance, this church, you may have personal knowledge of it, but you also found out some historical knowledge of it. It has its place in, you know, let's say... You know, like Ian Sinclair, it's important to him, so it's part of this cultural sort of soup that we're all part of at one point. How does that have a relationship to what I found most fascinating is going to parts of London I have no knowledge of? And then what sort of memories those trigger, and how those memories are different, I suppose.
On the other 30-odd segments, obviously we've all got varying degrees of kind of familiarity, and in most of those, I'd not walked in loads of those places before. Some of them I had, I agree it takes you to places that you don't know. But I think with this one, I think every time you revisit a place, whether it's, I mean, this has got really obvious historical, fairly well-known kind of historical significance, but sometimes when you just kind of catch some kind of small architectural detail or old sign or something up on the wall and wonder about it, maybe the next time you come back you have found out what it is. So it feels like it's a bit like those gravestones, or it's a bit like kind of layering and layering and layering of lives and information and references. And but there's a kind of slight, I mean, the thing about coming from Canary Wharf to here is a sense of that kind of architecture I find really quite intimidating, quite bullying, And actually, and this is a big church, but I don't, you know, relate to it in the same way. And I think also, yeah, just that really. I think that, but there is a kind of, yeah, one of the things about the walk really is the kind of different kind of emotional effects that walking through different places, whether you know them or not, can have just because of the environment and the architecture.
I think doing this, it gives us the opportunity to actually just question the very notion of what, you know, what is place. So if you're with a group of people, we usually are doing this, you get to see it through different people's eyes, and you're almost both in the place, you are the place, but you're also standing back from it slightly as a group, maybe, and looking at it and having different things to say about it, and that's what's great about it, I think.
I'm hearing Anne speak. I'm just thinking about, because I haven't done a huge amount of research about the places that I've known well in London, but I've got this really distinction between the places that we've gone through that I know just from personal knowledge of having been around there. So, for example, when we were going through Kilburn, that's very close to where I first moved to when I first moved to London. And so it was a very well-known place to me, sort of personally and emotionally. It had a particular kind of sense to it and atmosphere, which was, of course, gone, you know, sort of 30-odd years later. It was completely changed, and that kind of has a kind of quite a wrench, actually, when you go back to a place that's been quite personal to you, and then it's very much shifted in the way that most of London has shifted in that time. But there's a distinction between that kind of personal, emotional memory and then the memory of places where I might have particularly intervened in a conscious way. So for segments of the walk that I've sort of offered an invitation on, for example, if I revisit those places, they're very marked for me by that, my own sort of imprint on them and the imprint of the other people that I was with at the time. So it's just kind of interesting. I don't know if it's a difference in sort of sense of, yeah, almost like my presence in that space. It's like in Kilburn, I feel like, you know, my presence in that space, which was there sort of around 7 years, is completely eradicated. It's not, I mean, it was a long time ago, obviously, and there are lots of people around there, but, you know, it's completely eradicated. Whereas I still have a sense of myself and the people I was with in the places where I feel like I've been more sort of actively involved and intervening. Yeah.
I just wanted to say something about, so the commission, we've been commissioning some of the artists to make work along the trail, and I don't know if this is a good moment, but it might be just to say a quick word about darts, because I think it does chime in with what Rachel was saying about how you remember a place and the really strong sense of somewhere comes not so much from familiarity necessarily, but about the quality of your sort of interaction with that space. It could be just could be quite short but intense, and maybe that's what the walk does as well. It's like it's surprising how intense it can be to go on a walk which you're not sure where you're going, and then it appears somewhere, you know, and it's like, oh, that's what.
Yeah, I mean, Dorks, this is a small book which brought together some writings which related mainly to the King's Cross area, so it's different from here, but one point in common is probably that I live not very far from here and have done for a long time, and I guess whereas in King's Cross it was about kind of lost atmospheres and lost cityscapes that I associated with kind of quite underground kind of queer scene really in the kind of 80s, but I lived down here in the 80s, and I think sometimes there's a kind of sense of kind of feeling some sort of quite powerful emotional attachment to some of the histories, whether they're well known or otherwise, but some of the historic buildings are actually still here and haven't been completely changed, demolished, gentrified or whatever, so maybe that's what I was trying to get at with that idea of a kind of emotional is quite the right word, but something quite kind of intense relationship with the kind of street and architecture.
Sure. And just quickly, because we're going to go past it, there's the building that you used very close to here, the warehouse, the sale warehouse.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember much about it, but there's a sale, it's an old sale loft, which was a sale loft in the 1700s, I think, and then onto that was built a slightly later, in the 1800s, kind of factory for water purification, but both obviously relating to maritime trades, and it's just along the... It backs onto a bit of the Limehouse. It backs onto a kind of edge of the Limehouse cut, but the main road is Commercial Road. Which St Anne's Church, the front of St Anne's Church, we're at the back at the moment. The front of St Anne's Church is on Commercial Road, and then just along to the west is that building, which from the outside does look completely derelict. But it's quite an amazing, but quite a lot of the old structure's still there. We did some filming on it for a film called Wakeful, and actually found some sort of old records, business records and stuff like that in quite open rooms with lots of pigeon droppings and stuff in the upper part of the building as well. But the sail loft place is very atmospheric and was quite a moving space to record sound in. We worked with a collective called Breathing Space, and Charlie Fox, who's here, was interviewing me, was there, and obviously the actors in the film. But that was part of that maritime history, some of which, I mean, at the moment on the main road, it just looks like a lot of the area's been gentrified. This is, remains as a kind of big, kind of about four-storey kind of building with an old MOT garage sign on the front of it. And I think if you didn't know that, the rest of that building was behind it, then. I mean, it's pretty much across the road, actually.
Thank you.